I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know how something sometimes makes you laugh, but it's not funny because you don't know if it's life imitating art or art imitating life?
Okay.
Our friends at the NHL had to announce in an unfortunate, awkward way that tonight's game has been postponed. I will just read it and let you fill in the blanks. NHL game number 29 on Saturday, October 12th, between the Tampa Bay Lightning and Carolina Hurricanes has been postponed amid recovery efforts in the Tampa Bay area from the impact of Hurricane Milton. A makeup date will be announced as soon as it can be confirmed.
Rather unfortunate team names at the moment.
Are they postponing it because
yes. The
teams are named that?
It's at Tampa Bay, and Someone just put on Twitter, Lightning and Hurricanes postponed by Hurricane. Lightning and Hurricanes.
Great point.
It could have been worse. It could have been the Tampa Bay Twisters.
Meh.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's postponed because of the names or because...
No, because you can't get to the arena in Tampa. Okay.
It reminds me of a headline back in the day of two Kansas high schools who played
we
football
aware,
against one another.
Sam, that arena, Dan, if you recall, started out with a roof.
No, that's the baseball stadium.
That's Tropicana Field.
Yeah, that's different.
That's over in St. Pete.
Is the other one undamaged?
Yeah.
Really?
It's in Tampa.
Well, it doesn't have a tarp roof, which was the dumbest thing.
Okay, could we just talk about that one more time, and here's why.
I've been in both those places, and Trop Field, that's...
The NFL...
Worst.
The NFL entered into an agreement at some point in this last year with the federal government to, in five or six cities, provide stadiums for disaster relief if disaster strikes. And we talked about this at the time. We were like, well, that's kind of a cool idea because it's centrally located. Usually, you know, they've got capacity.
Yeah, but I wasn't a fan.
You have restrooms. And it was five or six. Some of the cities were a little odd.
Like Seattle.
It was stadiums in cities that never get hit by massive storms.
But I guess my point is, I don't even think the NFL or the federal government realized that when Mother Nature goes up against man, it doesn't matter if it's a stadium that, you know, in normal times would stand up pretty well to about anything. With the destruction that we saw over this past two storms, the NFL stadiums are not going to withstand those types of winds or damage either.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, and I think we're conflating here a little bit, the stadium that was damaged overnight was a Major League Baseball stadium. The four stadiums that they have picked, two of them are in places that never see natural disasters, period.
Yeah.
The football stadium in Pittsburgh, which is called a Crissier or something now. I don't know. It used to be called Three Rivers. So the football stadium in Pittsburgh and Lumen Field in Seattle, both cities rarely, if ever, get a natural disaster of any kind. The two stadiums where you could make the argument, well, those places either could or have had, and both are true, natural disasters are MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, of course, with Superstorm Sandy.
Well, they had Sandy,
Years ago, and Raymond James Stadium, which is the Buccaneers Stadium in Tampa, which strangely was not the stadium that they picked to use, and I don't know if it's because the NFL season is underway. Tampa Bay might have had a game this weekend in that stadium. I don't know.
Seems a little selfish to choose an NFL game over life.
Well, but they didn't use... Here's the funny thing, is the NFL has offered up these four venues to use in the event of a FEMA-related
disaster.
Emergency.
Yeah.
And the one that they had picked in Tampa was never used. They went to the baseball stadium that has a tarp for a roof.
Is the Buck Stadium covered?
Beg your pardon?
The Buck Stadium, is that covered? Raymond James?
I don't know. I'll have to take a gander at it.
I don't believe it is.
Then what's the point?
Is the NFL getting paid? I don't think the NFL generally is in business.
It is not covered
because they are kind.
I'm sure there's some type of rent.
You know, there was something that those cities said, yes, we will do this, and it's probably some type of federal aid.
Raymond James Stadium is an outdoor venue.
Are you suggesting that they're getting FEMA funding for agreeing to do this, even though they're not really being helpful?
Well, no, what I'm saying is
I'm suggesting I don't think they would have just done this out of the kindness of their heart.
What I'm saying is that the nonprofit NFL
right.
also charged the Department of Defense for flyovers.
That's true.
Paid patriotism is what we call it.
Right. You guys want to fly your stealth bomber over Arrowhead?
That's going to cost you a couple mil. You're going to have to pay for that. Yeah.
Even though the fans love it, the Air Force gets a little bit of free publicity out of it. But we're going to make sure that you pay for that publicity.
Tropicana Field, it makes sense to station people there. Till the roof comes off.
Did you also see in Orlando, that an enormous piece of ceiling, it was probably at the airport, because of the high winds, came careening down and crashing. And I know they shut down the airport, but this would have killed a lot of people had you been inside.
Huh.
Without question.
I don't know what building it was. It might have been the airport in Orlando or wherever.
This is Melbourne, Orlando International Airport. So it's over on the coast.
And the roof was damaged?
It looks like a panel was knocked off and fell to the ground.
Yes.
To the floor.
There is currently a 30-foot hole in the roof.
And the crane that we were talking about yesterday that was spinning?
Yeah. Yes.
It came down.
No longer standing.
Two of them did. I was listening to the news earlier today, and they had on the mayor from, I believe it was St. Petersburg, who was saying that the cranes were damaged. One of them didn't come down to the ground. Do you know why? It was resting on another high-rise next door. It hit another major building and was resting up against that
tipped over
building. Yeah.
Okay, but people tried to say to me yesterday when I said, why in God's name would they have not have deconstructed that? People were trying to say, and maybe this is true, maybe it's not, that in that industry, it's pretty well known that the cranes, it's the safest to just let them spin. It's safest just to let them go, woo, 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 woo.
Well, and it's time-consuming to take them back
down. Than it is to deconstruct them. And I made the point yesterday, and I stand by this, they had not seen winds there. I don't care how long you've been in crane operating business. They have not seen winds like that in 100 years in Tampa or wherever that crane was. And sure enough, it came down. And somebody said to me this morning, now, why wouldn't they have deconstructed that? I said the exact same thing.
Well, it takes 3 days in good weather.
With Milton, it takes 3 days just to take the crane down. That's assuming you already have the other gigantic crane there to take it down, which takes multiple days to get that crane
to take
there.
A crane down.
You have to bring in a gigantic crane on tracks.
Well, who takes the big gigantic crane down?
Another crane.
It moves on a semi.
Just goes town to town?
It smashed, by the way, into the Tampa Bay Times office. And let me just show you the damage. Those things don't look very big from, like, the skyline if you're way far away. When it comes crashing down, it takes the building with it.
It sure did take a chunk of it with it.
Yeah, this was downtown St. Petersburg, which is across the bay from Tampa.
Good Lord.
Okay, let's talk about baseball, everybody.
Go Royals!
I'm not saying I was right yesterday, but I'm saying I was right.
Well,
they should have taken the crane down.
It would have taken days that they didn't have. I mean, you've got to remember that this storm went from a tropical storm to a Category 5 hurricane in 2 days.
One day. 24 hours.
Was it 24 hours?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also,
two calendar days is what I was trying to
say. If you're going to start taking cranes down every time a tropical storm is forming in the Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico, you're going to be just taking the cranes down and putting them back up constantly for about 3 months of the year.
Well, maybe they don't build during hurricanes.
There we go.
Well, that's just too logical.
Maybe you don't move to areas that get hit by hurricanes.
Say that to all of Florida.
I know.
Speaking of Florida, Marlins man is back. Did you see him?
He was on TV last night.
4 minutes ago, somebody posted, wait a minute, can we call Marlins man Royals man now? He is wearing his signature orange shirt, jersey, but it says Royals on it.
What does this guy do for a living?
But
goes to baseball
games.
Is it the
same person from a decade ago?
Yes.
It is the same guy. Yes. He's a lawyer.
It's him.
Really?
And he was right behind home plate last night.
Yes.
Wearing his stupid orange jersey.
I don't call it stupid. You know what it made me feel like? Home. A warm hug when I saw that.
You know where he's not? Home.
We're happy to have him.
He can't work a whole lot.
You know, the last time we saw him, there were players that young people don't even know 3,926 days ago.
I got nothing against Marlins Man. What I will say, though, regarding Marlins Man, is it appears to me that Marlins Man likes to get a lot of attention.
I love Marlins Man.
Okay.
I love Marlins Man.
I think he was not kissed enough by his parents.
Did you read the story? Wow. I love him. If he's listening, I would like to apologize for my co-host behavior. I love Marlins Man. It's nostalgic to me when I see him there because it reminds me of the last time we were here, which was 3,000 odd some days ago. Did you see there are fans, Sam, that when Hosmer threw out the first pitch last night, I believe his name is Eric, not know who he was.
Well, you didn't either yesterday.
There's a whole generation. There's a whole generation of Royals fans who know Salvi, and they know Bobby Witt Jr., but they don't know, like, who Moose is or Hosmer. And Hosmer goes to throw out the first pitch, and some of the younger kids were like, who's that?
It reminds me when Paul McCartney was playing. He didn't play the halftime show of the Super Bowl, but like a pregame concert. Who? Exactly. And people were on Twitter going, who is Paul McCartney? And you're just like, oh, really?
10 years, a lifetime ago.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from Channel 5. A new report card has found that American children average a D minus when it comes to the recommended daily dose of physical activity. This was a part of a study that was commissioned in part by the University of Kansas Medical Center.
It's not funny, but I'm not remotely surprised.
Overall, health officials indicated that overall physical activity grade for youth remained at a D minus, the same grade received in 2022. The University of Kansas Health System noted that Bethany Forseth, PhD, a researcher and an assistant professor in the Department of Physical Therapy, led the report card's fitness section. Quoting here from Dr. Forseth, there is an abundance of research showing that physical activity is good for the health and development of children. Thank you, doctor. I think this report card is important because it provides a quick and easy way to see how active children are in our society.
Some groundbreaking stuff there, Doc.
Yeah, physical activity is good.
If you had said to me, what grade do you think our children get when it comes to physical activity?
I
would have guessed D, maybe not D minus.
I wouldn't. Here's why. Number one, and I know it changes as kids get older and get into middle school and high school, but I have an elementary school in my backyard. And on a nice day like today was, I like to leave the back door open because the sounds of kids laughing and screaming and yelling out at the playground, it just makes my heart happy. And so I'll sit there in the morning while I'm doing some work or watching the news or whatever, and I'll just listen to the kids having a great time out back and at the playground. There are always kids out there. Now, I know that's anecdotal, but this idea that kids are always locked up in their homes playing video games or staring at their phones, and again, anecdotal, does not ring true in my neighborhood.
It is overwhelmingly true. And
you really think so?
Oh, for me, it's one of the scariest trends in society.
There are kids out playing in my neighborhood all day long.
And you live in a rare, rare neighborhood.
Well, okay.
You know what I saw the other day? I saw two kids riding scooters, the motorized kind that will kill you, with their helmets dangling.
From their handlebar.
Nope, they did have it on, but the straps were dangling. And it has been a while since I pulled out my mom's voice.
Oh, my God.
I thought about it. Because one of the kiddos looked to be about 10. One of them looked to be about 12. Right at the age where they start thinking they're cool, but they're not. And I'm not going to attach that helmet strap under my chin. So that says to me, you don't understand physics or organ donation.
Well, they plan to attach it mid-ejection.
Right. I almost stopped my car.
But you didn't.
But I didn't. I didn't want to be the crazy lady and said, you put that helmet on correctly, young man. But I didn't. I'm done rearing children.
Because
I'm done.
Because remember when you were younger and a strange, loud woman pulled up alongside of you and said, "You better put your bicycle helmet on." Do you remember running home and getting your bicycle helmet?
This was a motorized scooter.
Yeah, at least she was getting physical activity out of it.
Thank you.
Coasting down the hill on your neighborhood street without pedaling
first
is
bicycle,
not an exercise.
First bicycle, what was it go?
My first bicycle?
Yeah.
Probably a Schwinn, but I upgraded to the Mongoose so I could do endos when I was in middle school.
What's an endo?
Oh, my word.
Okay. I had, because I was a nerd, I had a banana bike with the raised handlebars.
How does that? That's cool. That's not nerdy.
What are you talking about? That's what they rode in Wedding Crashers.
Old rusty banana bike.
Oh, yeah.
An endo, by the way, when we were kids, you would always see them out there with their kick butt little star rims on their Mongoose bicycles, and you had brakes on the front and on the back. It was like a little dirt bike. And when you would brake on the front only, it would bring the back of the bike up. That's called an endo.
Yeah, it would. Front wheelie?
Yeah, basically a front wheelie, yeah. And then if you were really good, you could balance on the front tire and jump.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bouncing endo.
It's a real problem,
ladies,
the lack of kids'
line
activity.
Line forms to the left.
In my childhood alone, it went from biking as far as we could before our parents got mad when they found out how far we biked to playing video games. In my childhood.
Well, but Sam, I mean, I know you guys think you invented the wheel here.
You didn't, because Pong came out when we were kids, and that was awesome.
We too had video games that attached to our televisions, believe it or not.
Called the Atari.
That's right. Defender, Space Invaders, Pac-Man.
What was the one called where you had to jump over the alligators?
Oh, that was not Frogger.
No. Pitfall?
It might have been Pitfall.
Oh, my God. I was obsessed with Pitfall. Yeah. You would be on the rope, and you go, durr, durr.
And Sam, when those games weren't realistic enough for us, our parents would take us to these things called arcades.
Yep. Roll of quarters.
And we would play with quarters. I mean, the idea that kids are playing video games all day. I mean, hello, 50-year-old people out there. What did you do back in the 80s? We went to arcades or we played Atari at home. And then it wasn't PlayStation. What was the one between Atari and PlayStation?
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
How'd you forget Nintendo?
Yeah. I think at that point I had kind of aged out. But, I mean, kids have been playing video games since the dawn of time. Sort of.
Back in the hieroglyphics era.
Except for before the time that there were videos nor games.
There was no electricity. I don't think when there wasn't electricity, I don't think they played video games. I don't think.
They wanted to, though.
Right. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's apparently the hero that America didn't know it needed. He's been nicknamed Tampa's Lieutenant Dan.
Oh. Well, not so fast, but yeah.
His name is Joseph Malinowski, and he decided to ride out Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton.
In his sailboat.
In a sailboat in Tampa Bay, even though police were begging him to come ashore. He refused to do it.
Even threatening to admit him to a 72-hour psych hold if they got to him before the storm came in.
So reporters started checking on him. You saw this all over, and they were giving updates that Lieutenant Dan is still doing okay. He's hunkered down. Like, he just becomes this overnight viral kind of curious guy.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Dot, dot, dot.
The Orlando Sentinel digs into his criminal history. He is not a man you want to make a hero out of. He did ride out both storms in his little sailboat, and it is small. He survived. But the Orlando Sentinel reported that his, and by the way, he's been given a certain level of fame because there's a TikTok guy named Terrence Concannon, and he's appeared on his TikToks a lot, and so everybody's in love with him. Then the Orlando Sentinel delved into his criminal history, which includes a one-year prison sentence for punching a police officer in the face, a separate case last year in which he was accused of setting a park bench on fire.
With a woman on it.
And then splashing gasoline on that woman who feared for her life.
Great guy.
In February of last year, he was separately accused of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon after a woman who was smoking a cigarette claimed he came up upon her and poured gasoline on her. He argued he was throwing gasoline in the air, and it landed on
okay.
her.
Okay, also not okay. There's a GoFundMe, and it is well-funded. I don't know what the GoFundMe was for.
Him.
But for what purpose? He survived the storm?
It's already generated $40,000.
Well.
He lives on a small sailboat. Part of the reason they call him Lieutenant Dan is because he is missing part of his leg.
Is he missing part of his leg, or is he just used crutches?
His left leg is missing below the
knee.
Oh,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, about mid-shin.
I thought they just called him Lieutenant Dan because he's wearing a tank top.
He's missing the lower part of his left leg. Sam's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the tattoos and the tank top. Well, I'm sure that helped.
Okay. In other news... There's a baseball game in town tonight. It's a must-win for the Royals, by the way. Al Pacino is enjoying being a late-in-life dad. The legendary actor talked about being a father to a brood, including his now 16-month-old son, Roman, in an interview with People magazine. Quote, "It's just so wonderful to have children," said the 84-year-old father of four.
There it is.
He is also the father of a woman named Julie, who is 34,
uh-huh.
And he has 23-year-old twins, Anton and Olivia.
But love knows no age.
With actress
no
Beverly D'Angelo.
I didn't know that. Of a Vacation fame.
Yes, correct. The Godfather star reflected on having a new baby as an octogenarian. Quote, "Well, it's always the same. It's always the same. It's a mini miracle. That's all I can say."
Is it always the same? I feel like I don't agree with that.
I'm not here to judge anyone. But if I was, I would argue that having a child in your 80s is irresponsible. I know men can do it. Most women cannot.
Can I just say...
That would be a biological anomaly.
Correct.
If at any point in my late 30s, the entirety of my 40s or now...
Mm-hmm.
Just the thought of starting over when I have these four amazing young adults that are my joy and light.
Your mini-me's.
Oh my gosh, every single day. There is something better and new at the ages where they are. It's my favorite age by far.
Mm-hmm.
If you said to me, "I will pay you $1 billion to start over and have a baby," or... You could roam out into traffic with a blindfold on at 7 p.m. tonight.
Are we talking about a residential street or a busy?
I'm going to go with Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Okay.
I would turn down the $1 billion to start it. Now, I'm not going to make this about gender, but I will say that maybe it is easier later in life for men to start over than it is women. I know for you that would not be the case, Scott.
It would be easy. Say that again. It would be easier for men to start over.
I think somewhat.
What? Why do you think that?
Because there are men in their 50s and 60s that will date Bill Belichick, a 20-year-old.
He's in it for love.
I'm not saying he's not.
She isn't.
I'm not saying he's not. And then clearly Al Pacino has millions with which to.
By
ferry out
by nannies.
The various. That's why when he says, "I mean, it's always the same, isn't it?" No, it's not.
Yeah, because you're not changing any diapers at 3 o'clock in
no,
the morning.
He is definitely not.
To your point, I worship the ground that my two daughters walk on. I don't know. If you paid me $1 billion to start over, I probably would take the $1 billion.
Mm-mm.
But I have no intention and no plan to ever go down that road again. Not that I didn't enjoy it while I was on it.
It was fabulous. It's fabulous. It's like a vacation. It's fabulous while you're there. You look back fondly at the memories, but around day 7 or 8, you're ready to come home.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. And back to my original point, and people are probably going to criticize me for saying that it was irresponsible. Here's why I think it's irresponsible. His son is 16 years old, or 16 months old, I beg your pardon.
We'll never know him.
That's correct. And if he does, it'll be in photographs or a fleeting memory of a decrepit 90-year-old man who doesn't even know his own name.
But they'll have so much in common.
Because they're both going to be in diapers.
Yes, that was the off-air joke. Yes.
I mean, that one just wrote itself.
Yeah. You teed that right up. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, he's going to have money and he's going to have people to raise him, but...
You can't eat solid food.
No, but
I can't eat solid food.
Are you going to finish that Gerber there, buddy? No, Dad. You don't have teeth. I don't have teeth. You poop in a diaper. I poop
but
in a
why
diaper.
Do we, like, if this was just Joe Schmo that lived down the street, we would be like, what in the Sam Hill are they doing?
Yeah, it's irresponsible.
But when it's a Bill Belichick or it's an Al Pacino, it's more just a curiosity and we kind of laugh about it and make jokes.
No, I'm saying, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I am too. When you get to the age of 84, as a man, you have no business having children. Larry King, I'm looking at you. Well, you're dead. I can't look at you anymore. Al Pacino.
I mean, this kid's going to hit his mid-20s and realize he doesn't have that.
Why evolutionarily is it possible? Has anyone ever looked into that? Why in the...
Do we really want to get into
no,
that?
No, world ain't I don't.
Gonna,
no,
world ain't going to populate itself.
Do we want to break that down?
I don't mean specifically, well, but why evolutionarily would it even be possible? So for women, you know this, around a certain age.
When you become mature.
When you become a mature woman.
If it were Don Lemon describing it, you would say that you're out of your prime.
That oven is closed. I am out of my prime. And it's not allowed to happen. So it's kind of a curiosity that on the other side of the aisle, it can still theoretically happen. Wasn't Al Pacino the one who said famously last year when the pregnancy was announced, I didn't even know I could still father children? I'm like, yep, you're the only one that didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's a well-known fact that men are
able
to do that.
Unless they procedurally make it so they cannot.
Correct.
Yes, that is right.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Why do I feel awkward? Let's talk about the Royals. Gates are open.
This is a must-win game tonight.
Must-win game. Let's go.
What did Quentin Lucas tweet out just now?
Something about...
We will thrive in game 5.
We will thrive in game 5.
Is he aware that tonight is game 4?
I hope so.
Mr. Mayor.
I hope that was his way of saying...
We're going to win tonight and win when we go back to New York.
We give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
I hope you are correct.
We will thrive in game 5. Mr. Mayor, tonight, game 4, sir. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Oh, boy. Story here out of Houston, KHOU-TV. Parents of preschoolers in Texas say they are shocked after finding out their children were given sleep aids by their teachers.
Oh, God.
They said that their children told them they were given sleepy stickers that would make them fall asleep. The patches in question are sleep aids containing melatonin, among other ingredients, and are intended for adults.
Wait. Like for nap time?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they aren't even disguised as stickers. They look like a medicinal patch, similar to what people trying to quit smoking
that's criminal.
Use for 12 years straight, put on their arm.
It's been longer than 12 years, Sam.
Oh, sorry.
But thank you. Thank you.
Let's drug the kids. I wonder who came up with that idea.
When it comes to coverage for the pricey GLP-1 weight loss drugs like Wegovy and Zepbound, only a fifth of large U.S. companies cover the medications in their health insurance plans. Only a fifth.
Yeah.
In a report published today or yesterday in the journal Health Affairs, don't worry, we do subscribe. Researchers also found that a third of companies that do cover the medications say coverage has a significant impact on their plan's prescription drug spending. You think?
We subscribe so you don't have to.
Obesity can fuel poor health and affects a significant chunk of the U.S. population, and these medications can help. However, concerns linger about the drug's high cost and the likelihood that they need to be used indefinitely. Okay.
You can ask me when I'm dead because I'll still be on it.
Well, I think most people who are on it would tell you that they're convinced they're going to be on it for the rest of their lives, because when people do get off of these drugs, many of them gain the weight right back. The average American feels like they lose 3 days per month to content consumption, according to recent research. The study of 2,000 Americans revealed that 36 days out of a year are lost to scrolling, streaming, and binging.
Is it true, Sam, for these younger people these days?
Yeah.
That the reels on Facebook and the other, like, whatever you call them.
TikTok videos.
Like TikTok videos. Are somehow designed to make you keep going and keep going and keep watching.
Yes. Oh, most certainly.
And by the way, tell her what we learned last month about its effect on your mental health.
It actually makes you more bored and more depressed.
I'm laughing. I'm watching, like, comedians.
But I understand.
The dopamine overload cannot be met when it's time to stop.
And so, yeah, you are entertaining yourself. You're having a great time. Oh, look, Scott's watching Nate Berkowitz or whatever his name is, Bergazzi, videos on Saturday Night Live, and Michael Jordan dunk videos and cute little animal videos, and I'm entertained.
By the way, they say that Nate Bergazzi SNL skit about weights and measures was the number one, like, watched skit of all time.
Believe it.
It is so funny that they just put the note cards, the cue cards from that episode in the National Comedy Hall of Fame. All of the cue cards from the weights and measures skit with Bergazzi last year.
But remember, there is a second one
that just came out
about
pork and chicken.
We're gonna have different names for animals
chicken,
when they're
sir?
Alive and when they become our food.
Cows will be beef.
Pigs will be pork.
What about chicken, sir?
They stay the same.
How do you spell Fahrenheit? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
We got to run. Don't forget to sign up for the Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is a week from this Saturday. Spots are limited. Go to KMBZ.com. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.